peace.
Yeah. You know, it's Africa doesn't want us there. It's trying to get us out of there. Yeah, it's saying work in the white communities, the origin of the problem. Yeah. You know, this is what we have to take on. We're not appreciated as a do-gooder over there. We're appreciated as working in our own communities to build, you know, an organization of a lot more of us to stand in solidarity with the strategy of African people themselves.
Well, thank you, Penny. This has been an excellent show of Reparations in Action. And we thank our listeners for tuning in and participating in this program. I want to again encourage people to come out and support the Africa's Future in African Hands tour of Nurse Mary Karama from Sierra Leone all throughout the U.S. I earlier gave out the website for the tour dates. If you want further information about all of APDEP's projects, all African People's Development and Empowerment projects, you can go to developmentforafrica.org. That's developmentforafrica.org, and you can learn all about the work that Nurse Mary is doing in Sierra Leone and work that, APDEP is doing throughout the world. So tune in again next week. Stay tuned for Diasporic Music with Norman Richmond out of Toronto. And don't forget to spread the word and tell your friends about the Uhuru Radiothon coming up the first weekend of May. Uhuru.
No explanations. It's all in. It's our goal. And if you could, you take our soul. All we need is reparations.
Man, this land was built on the backs of blacks. Oh, you took it all, now we're taking it back.
Guess who? The lyrics go like this. Someone really loves you. Guess who? Someone really cares. Guess who? So,
Diasporic Music on Uhuru Radio. My name is Norman Otis Richmond, a.k.a. Jalali, speaking to you from the not-so-great White North here in Toronto, Canada. And we kicked our show off today with the music of B.B. King. And B.B. King did that song in Africa. He took Jesse Belvin, who's this show is dedicated to the motherland in 1974, and that was recorded in, then it was called Zaire. Today it's called the Democratic Republic of Congo, and there's a whole lot of things taking place there today, but B.B. King sang there in 1974 along with a number of other artists, but we're going to talk about that a little bit later. And today's show is dedicated to the memory of the late, great Jesse Belvin, and Jesse Belvin will be, by the time this show is finished, you'll have an education on Jesse Belvin. But I just wanted to say that Barry White, The Whispers, Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, and Brenda Holloway are all in the debt of Jesse Belvin, a great singer, songwriter, producer out of Los Angeles, California. And I would like to thank the people that I always thank, O'Malley Ishitella, for giving me the space on Uhuru Radio, Chairman O'Malley Ishitella, and Archie Shep. And Archie Shep was the person that I got the term diasporic music from, and I would like to thank him for his support wherever he is, probably somewhere in Europe, or he might be in Africa. I don't know. Archie travels all over. But if you want to contact us during this broadcast, you can do the email thing at dj@uhururadio.com. And we are in the 21st century. There is a Skype option, which is Uhuru Radio. Telephone, the North American number is 727-565-1599. And if you're calling from the UK, you can call 020-8133-6629. And we're going to continue with a song that Jesse Belvin wrote when he was... Well, he only lived to be 27, but one of the significant things about this song is that Barry White is 11 years old, and he is playing piano on this song called Earth Angel.
Just a fool, a fool in love with you. Earth angel, the one I adore. Love you forever and evermore. I'm just a fool. Happiness. Oh, oh, Earth Angel, Earth Angel, please be mine, my darling dear. Love you all the time. I'm just a fool, a fool in love with you.
Get to the real thing.
Yo, DJ Zo.
Earth Angel, Earth Angel, will you be mine? My darling dear, I will love you all the time. I'm just a fool. I'm just a fool.
things will be. I kiss like the fresh to put my tongue in your ear. Do it like the dogs do a girl and pull on your hair. For me a different scenery just means a different position. In the tub or on the sink I improvise, now listen. In the chopper on the jet, join the mind high glove. I'm the fool, I know money came by me love.
Mr. Belvin was a
you started off really singing in a lot of groups, and this is one of my favorite songs. Jesse Belvin is doing the falsetto. He's singing in the background on this particular song, and when I tried to sing, I could hear. I used to do similar stuff with my voice in the background, but this is a group called The Shields, and Mr. Belvin, Jesse Belvin, is singing the falsetto. It's called You Cheated, You Lied.
You lied, you said that you loved me. You cheated, you lied, you said that you want me. Oh, what can I do but just keep on loving you? Love
like mine is hard to It's fire, it's raging flame. Although you won't hear my plea, that love is raging just the same. Do, do, girl of my dreams, what shall I do? Girl of my dreams, I'm sad and blue, do, do, can't go on without you. Girl of my dreams, girl of my dreams, girl of my dreams.
Tommy Dorow, Willie Malone, Pat White, and yours truly, and Eminem and the Peanuts were a group that recorded for Money Records, Ruth Dolphin's label Money Records, and as you could hear, we were in debt to Jesse Belvin's group that he recorded a song called The Girl of My Dreams. That was the Clicks, and we borrowed very liberally from that, and we kicked that set off with the Shields, which featured Johnny Guitar Watson on guitar. And we're going to be speaking with Jesse Belvin Jr. In the next half an hour or so. But Jesse Belvin was only 27, and his wife Joanne was a mere 25 when they joined the Ancestors. Belvin was a prolific songwriter who wrote R&B classics like Earth Angel, Girl of My Dreams, Goodnight My Love, Guess Who, and Guess Who was written by his wife, Joanne. When the Penguins recorded Earth Angel, we played that earlier, the then 11-year-old Barry White was the pianist on the recording session. This composition, Earth Angel, eventually co-credited to Belvin and the Hollywood Flame singer Curtis Williams and Gaynell Hodge after a legal dispute was recorded by the Penguins and became one of the first R&B singles to cross over into the pop charts, selling a million copies in 1955. Let us go on with more music from Jesse Belvin.
Good night, my love. Pleasant dreams and sleep tight, my love. May tomorrow be sunny and bright and bring you closer. In the steam.
closer to me. Before you go, there's just one thing I'd like to know. If your love is still warm for me, or has it gone cold? If you should awake in the still of the night, please have no fear. I'll be there, darling, you know I care. Please, dear love, tell me, dear only, good night, my love. Pleasant dreams and a sleep, sleep tight, my love. Tomorrow will be sunny and bright and bring you closer to me.
You're listening to Diasporic Music on Uhuru Radio. My name is Norman Otis Richmond, a.k.a. Jalali. We were listening to the music of Jesse Belvin, performed by John Holt. John Holt is a legendary lovers rock artist. I guess he's not really lovers rock anymore because he does a lot of stuff, but he's known as a crooner, and he covered Goodnight, My Love as a lovers rock edition. And we also heard from Paul Anka. Paul Anka is from Ottawa, Canada. He did a rendition of Goodnight, My Love, and I'm certain that the publisher made a lot of money out of that because Paul Anka wrote the theme for the Johnny Carson show, and that song was Paul Anka still gets paid very nicely for that particular tune. And joining us on the line is the son of Jesse Belvin. We have none other than Jesse Belvin Jr. How are you doing, my good friend?
I'm good, Norman. Thank you.
And we have played a number of your father's songs. We kicked off the show with Guess Who? Live in Africa, you know, with B.B. King in 1974, and we played Earth Angel by a Jamaican group as well as the Penguins. Then we played the Shields, one of my favorites, You Cheated, You Lied, and I think Johnny Guitar Watson is on that one. Then we played Girl of My Dreams, and we played my group song, Open Up Your Eyes, Eminem and the Peanuts, and we played John Holt and Paul Anka. So your father has quite a repertoire, and he came, he was recorded, his music has gone to Africa, the Caribbean, as well as Japan and the United States. I guess the first question is, What kind of impact do you think your father's had on the music world right now?
Well, I think it's pretty huge because it was first said that he was considered the godfather of doo-wop from the West Coast, and then he went from there and got drafted into the service, and then his job in the service was to entertain the troops, and therefore he went on and he done that. So I get mail from everywhere, from all over the world, telling me that how much love they have for my dad in different countries and different states, man, from everywhere. And then from there, he went on to sign that solo career with RCA Victor. And, you know, the rest, I guess we would call his story, or history. I mean, his fans from here and abroad all seem to have just so much love for him, man. I just think he had quite an impact on the music industry and the music world and music lovers. All over the world, man.
Now, could you talk about, your father was only 27 when he passed away, and your mother was 25. Could you talk about the role that your mother played on his development as a business person?
Well, I guess the best way I could explain that is to say that my father had so much music in him. My grandmother, his mother, who raised me, told me that if he wasn't whistling, he was singing. If he wasn't singing, he was sitting somewhere patting his feet with music. And she would send him to the corner store to get a half a gallon of milk. And by the time he'd come home, it's like the milk had four sides. He'd have four songs on the bag. And he was 12 and 13 years old, and he'd come in the house and drop her milk off and tell her he was running to Hollywood to sell those songs. And that's what he'd do. And by the time he met my mother, who was working at the time at Dolphins of Hollywood on Central Avenue and their spinning records,
right,
they fell in love. And my grandmother told me that my father didn't begin making money until he met my mother, when she did what she did to make sure he quit giving his music away. Because the music came so freely and easy to him, and he wanted everybody he knew to sing and do music. So he gave music to anybody who thought they wanted to sing. So my mother played a very big part. He was signed to several different smaller companies that weren't pushing him fast enough. He'd go record at this company, they'd record a 45 on him, and then they couldn't push him fast enough as he was producing music. He'd go a few blocks over until he found someone else to record, another little company. He'd sing with them under another name. And he was singing under different companies under different names just to get his music out. And my mother walked in RCA Victor with her briefcase and her portfolio with his music. And when she came out of the RCA, when paid all those small companies off and gave him a deal on a major. And what little people know is that his contract entailed LPs and motion pictures. And everything they did for Elvis with the white people, they were going to use him for the black people. He just had an accident before they could even almost get started. But he was well on his way.
Dolphins of Hollywood was the label that Eminem and the Peanuts, the group that I was with, we recorded for Ruth Dolphin, and your mother worked there, and that was a record store. Vernon and Central is right, that's like the heart of, Central Avenue is the heart of the black community, and I think that...
They used to call it Black Broadway.
And the Black Panther Party office is on Central Avenue. There's films about 42nd and Central. That's the name of a film on coming out of L.A. Let's take a music break, and I wanted to play Imagination. Could you set this song up?
Well, Imagination has always been one of my favorites because, you know, my grandmother always, she was a pianist extraordinaire, and she was the one who, I guess, the music seed in all of us began in, and she would make me understand the importance of diction and pronunciation. I thought breathing was the secret, and she made me understand diction and pronunciation, and when I listened to him do Imagination and the things that he does, the voicing and things that he does, it really made me really understand that there was so much more to singing than just breathing. And he's always been one of my favorites because he lets one know, if you listen to him, Imagination, he's really a deep sea diver with that microphone in his hand.
So let's listen to, he'll give us a demonstration of deep sea diving when we play the song, correct?
Yeah, he had a bunch of oxygen tanks on when he picked his mic up.
All right, this is Jesse Belvin's Imagination.
Imagination is funny. It makes a cloudy day sunny. Makes a bee think of honey. Just as I think of you. Imagination is crazy. Your whole perspective gets hazy. Starts you asking a daisy what to do. To do. Have you ever felt a gentle touch and then a kiss and then, oh, then find it's only your imagination again?
Diasporic Music on Uhuru Radio. My name is Norman Richmond. I'm on the line with Jesse Belvin Jr., and we are exploring the life and times of Jesse Belvin.
Richmond, I'm on the line with.
And I think, Brother Jesse, you're going to have to turn it down because we're getting feedback.
Yeah, I just did. Thank you. I'm sorry.
Now, we wanted to go, we were speaking about your mother, Joanne. Your mother, Joanne, was born in Louisiana, and your father was born in Texas, and your mother went to John C. Fremont, and your father went to Jefferson High School. You had people like Dorothy Dandridge and Roy Ayers and Ralph Bunch and Johnny Guitar Watson.
Richard Berry.
Richard Berry, I guess people need to know, he recorded Louie Louie, right? Yeah.
Yeah, he wrote Louie Louie.
Right. And Etta James, Etta James went there as well.
Yeah, that's right. They all sat in his clinic.
Now, you told me that when Sam Cooke came and Lou Rawls came from Chicago to Los Angeles, that they actually came to, at that point, Jesse Belvin was the man. They came to basically learn from him because he had the contract before Sam did, I guess.
Yeah, he was with RCA first. I met Lou Rawls, and he told me that he followed Sam to the West Coast because they knew that they could probably had a better chance of landing a record deal on a major label. And he said when they got to Los Angeles, they all sat at Jesse Belvin's feet because he was the man.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that, I mean, I was too young to know, but just to think that the great Sam Cooke sat at my dad's feet, I was like, man, he was the man. When you hear Etta James in her book talk about how he'd have been bigger than Nat King Cole and Frank Sinatra and anybody that ever sang, he was the greatest that ever sang. I mean, these are people that were around great singers. When you hear Stevie Wonder say, I think I shared it with you, Norman. Stevie Wonder was being interviewed about Ray Charles, and they were talking about his genius, and the guy was just in awe about Ray, and Stevie stopped him and said, well, wait a minute. You want to talk about great singers? My favorite singer is a guy by the name of Jesse Bell.
I think we have that clip. We can play that clip a little bit later, but are you on a roll? Keep on going.
Well, it's up to you how we do it. I'm following your lead. I'm just, as you make me think back about, you know, what his peers have thought about him. I just, I'm just trying to be
part
of it.
Well, you know, when we talk about his peers, Marvin Gaye talked about when he used to go to, the Howard Theater was in Washington, D.C., we had the Fox Theater in Los Angeles and, you know, the Apollo in New York and the theater, I guess it was the Regal in Chicago, whatever. But Marvin said he went to the Howard Theater in Washington, D.C., and he would watch people like Jesse Belvin, and he would be so intimidated he couldn't even, he would go hide and go practice because he wanted to be like, he mentioned Jesse Belvin and Sam Cooke in the same breath at that time.
Well, my first band, I played with a guy named Raymond Crossley, and this guy was so talented. He was a Creole guy, and he could play all instruments. And when I was in my early teens, and then when I became an adult, I hadn't seen Raymond for years, and the next time I seen him, I was at the Forum watching Marvin Gaye. I was front center in his Distant Lover concert, and I got to be honest with you, I was screaming louder than the girls because that's how much I love Marvin. But Raymond and I got together after the show, and all he wanted me to know was how much Marvin loved my daddy.
Mm-hmm.
So he was around him every day because he had become Marvin's piano player. So he said, man, I just want you to know Marvin Gaye loved your daddy. So, I don't know. I mean, it's to each his own, but the people that we've mentioned, like, those are the best of the best from my view. Because, I mess with music a little bit, And I think I got a pretty good musical ear. Mm-hmm. And those people that we have mentioned, man, I mean, come on. Well, Stevie Wonder to say that's his favorite singer, man. Who hasn't he sang with?
Yeah, he's the man.
Who hasn't he sang with? You know, he's like, come on, man. He's like the new Quincy, really, if he want to be. You know, like when my dad was around, it was Marty Paich. After Marty Paich, it was Quincy Jones. After, if Stevie can be, you know, whoever he want to be, because he's that guy with that music, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's every musician's dream that has been around since Stevie has been alive is to perform with Stevie.
Right.
Even just to work with him. You ain't got to perform with him. Just have him critique what you're doing.
Now, I want to shift gears here. Now, when L.C. Cook, who is the brother of Sam Cook, came to Los Angeles, and he refused to stay in Los Angeles, but Jesse, your father, put him up with, Jesse Belvin, or Sam Cook's brother, L.C. Cook, stayed with your mother and your father, and L.C. told me that Joanne and Jesse were like two peas in a pod, and he said that he remembers seeing your mother and your father in Atlanta shortly before they were killed, and this is a direct quote from him. He says, he and Joanne hugged me and I bid them goodbye. He didn't realize that that would be the last time he'd see them. Now, we wanted to deal with the death of your father. Now, in 1960, he was performing in, I guess, Little Rock, Arkansas, on the bill with Jackie Wilson, Arthur Prysock. It was in Hope, and he was killed in Hope, Arkansas. And exactly what is the real story behind that? Because I don't think the real story has come out. I wrote something about it.
You know, a lot has been written and a lot has been said, but I've done quite a bit of research, and I've even been down there. And first of all, it was supposed to be the first interracial concert down there, trying to ease racial tension from that Little Rock Nine incident.
The Little Rock Nine incident was when they integrated the school, right, okay, high school.
Yeah, they didn't want their schools integrated. So my dad volunteered to go down there to be part of the first, because he had been all over New York and California doing what he did. And, you know, that was routine, singing for interracial audiences. And he was from the South, so he felt like, he felt like he was an obligation to come down here and do that. And, you know, Jackie Wilson didn't mind. You know, Jackie was a boxer. He wasn't scared of nothing.
Right.
So, they were very, very good friends. So when they came, the show had to be stopped three times. And they had to be escorted out of the town. The highway patrolman escorted them to the end of the town, and they got on the highway in Hope, Arkansas.
Right.
And thought they were safe and out of harm's way, not knowing that their tires had been slashed on their car. Back then, there were only two-lane highways, one lane going one way, one going the other way. No dividers. When the one tire start giving, all the tires start giving. They had a head-on collision with a car coming the other way. The chauffeur died, my mom died, and my dad died. His guitar player was in the front seat. He survived the accident. And the car that they had the accident with was a world-renowned swimmer and his wife and family, and they died. a white family. So there were no winners in that. And the saddest part about it was the first highway patrolman on the scene of the accident said that there was definitely foul play because all the tires had been slashed. But the thing that kind of bothered me most throughout my growing up was that there was never even an investigation because that kind of stuff was so routine back then in that area.
Now, RCA didn't do anything. RCA had the clout. I mean, they must have had a big president who could have said something that could have intervened at that time, don't you think?
Well, they could have done a lot of things, but, you know, RCA, I got to be honest with you, RCA didn't play fair. RCA is, I mean, I've had companies that I didn't even know he recorded on that have seen me online and contacted me and sent me thousands of dollars from stuff that was sitting on the shelf that he'd done that they collected on. By the same token, RCA, who has sold all his music, his best stuff, all over the world for the last 50 years, have never given the family one penny on record sales. And when I contact them, they still try to tell me today that he still has an unrecouped balance 50 mm-hmm. years later.
Well, let's go.
So you know what? My response to them is you would have had to give him $1 billion 50 years ago for him to mm-hmm. still have an unrecouped balance. And I know you didn't give him $1 billion in the 50s, a black man.
But now,
that's just real.
Let's go back to the. So you back actually think there was foul play in the death of Jesse and Joanne Belvin? That's your view. That's my view too.
Man, there's no question about there was foul play, man. They didn't cut their own tires, none. I got the newspaper clippings from right after the accident, man. I got the newspaper where the highway patrolman said there was definitely foul play because all the tires had been slashed.
Well, that was the L.A. Sentinel. The L.A. Sentinel reported.
No, but I got the papers from Little Rock, Arkansas.
Okay. Which I think would be a little bit closer than Los Angeles, right?
And a little truer than the L.A. Sentinel,
right?
You know,
the L.A. Sentinel, for those listening, is the black weekly out of Los Angeles, yeah, and that's all the black.
My mother's father, my granddad on my mother's side. He couldn't even stand to talk about it. All through my growing up, all he'd say, he'd cry and say, they shouldn't have done that to them babies.
You were raised by, after your parents passed away, you were raised by your grandmother and your aunts and people like that, right?
That's right, my grandmother and my aunt, honey, her daughter. That's my grandmother and my father's sister.
Well, let's take another music break and come back. We wanted to play, is that Volare?
Yeah, play that Volare.
Now, Volare, what is the significance of Volare? Jesse Belvin breaks off into, is it French, Spanish, or
he starts off in English, but he takes off singing it in French.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's bilingual, but I think he must have spoke three or four different languages from what my grandmother told me. But he starts singing this song in French in the middle, and I mean, he don't play where he sings it like a Frenchman.
But your father had a reputation of being very, very, very fluent in. I mean, he could speak Spanish. I guess everybody talks about that. Etta James talks about that, and I know people. Yeah. There are a lot of people in California, unlike myself, that that can really handle Spanish because you know they hung out with the Mexicans as. Some people refer to them, or the Chicanos, as some people refer to them. But I was growing up, I'm a little bit younger than your father and a little bit older than you. You know, L.A. didn't have that many other Latinos there. When I say had Latinos, what I mean, most of the people that we grew up with were, you know, like so-called Mexican Americans. They weren't from Guatemala or Nicaragua. They were basically. You know, people that were born in the United States of Mexican origin. But let's go ahead.
For what my grandmother told me, where they lived on Long Beach was right so close to the Hispanics until he was back and forth. If it was some Hispanic singing,
right,
he was down there messing with them. So. I mean, if you listen to that record, You Cheated, You Lied, The Shields.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah,
played that already, right.
Yeah, he sung the high falsetto tenor in the background on that. But when I listen to it, I'm not sure, but I believe those are Hispanics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's just what he did. People were people with him. I don't think he saw colors because... I mean, when he went to RCA, the great Shorty Rogers, the trumpeter.
Right.
Man, every time I see him before he passed, man, when he see me, he just start crying, man. You know, because of the relationship he and my dad had, you know.
Right.
So, I know he was very close with a lot of people. I've never heard anyone speak bad of him, but only of... the friend he was and how big of a person he was as far as loving people, you know.
Well, let's listen to you. Want to set up? You want to introduce Volare?
Well, you can go ahead and introduce it. I mean, that's I can tell you about it. That as usual, he's fixing to sing like no other, and if that's not enough, he's gonna give you a little taste of that French.
All right. Let's listen to Jesse Belvin singing Volare.
Sometimes the world is a valley of heartaches and tears, and in the hustle and bustle no sunshine appears. But you and I have our love always there to remind us there is a way we can leave all the shadows behind. Volare, oh, oh, cantare, oh, 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 let's fly way up to the clouds, away from the maddening crowds. We can sing in the glow of a star that I know where lovers enjoy peace of mind. Let us leave the confusion and all disillusion behind. Just like birds of a feather, a rainbow together we'll find. Volare, oh, oh, cantare, oh, oh, oh,
wonder my happy heart sings. Your love has given me wings. Ma tutti sogni nell'alba veniscan per che. Quando tramonta la luna mi porta con sé. Ma io continuo a sognare negli occhi tuoi belli, che sono blu come il cielo trapunto di stelle. Volare, oh, oh, cantare, oh, 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 nel blu degli occhi tuoi blu, felice di stare con te. No wonder my happy heart sings, your love has given me wings.
I feel that there will never ever be an award great enough to give him, meaning Ray Charles, and that he's opened so the door, so many hearts, and has made the bridge possible, and the gap that was between many different kinds of music. I just hope that he receives that, you know, whatever we can give him.
I agree with you.
You know,
and that one's been a long time coming.
You know, yeah. I couldn't believe that, for instance, that he received an award from a song that I wrote, "Living for the City." I couldn't believe it. I still can't believe it, because that song was all right. But I mean, he deserves something even better than that. You know, and I guess it, people don't wonder why I say that, but I really feel that. I really feel that, and.
But the man is a genius on his own.
Really?
Without anybody's help.
Really? Yeah. And I just hope that we recognize this and do something before nothing can be done.
I agree with you. That tribute is well taken.
There's one person that is my favorite artist of all times. He did a song called Guess Who? And the late Jesse Belvin, who was like my favorite artist, like... Jesse Belvin, I would almost die to meet him, you know. I mean, really, I really love the music that he gave us. I mean, there's so much sincerity in his voice. There's some really great artists that, that I guess many of us have not been able to hear.
Those sentiments are beautiful, and I love them. I just want to return to that earlier question.
The song.
The songs that you thought were among your best.
I think Visions, I Was Made to Love Her, which kind of speaks of like my first love to a girl named Angie, who is a very beautiful woman. She's now married and she has, I think, three children. Actually, she was like my third girlfriend, but my first love, you know. And I used to do this thing on stage where I would talk about... And it's true though, but I used to like call Angie up and like we would talk and say, I love you, we'd talk and we'd both go to sleep on the phone, and this was like from Detroit to California, right?
Oh,
no. You know what? I said, boy, what are you doing? Don't get you on the phone. Boy, I tell you, it was ridiculous.
You're listening to Diasporic Music on Uhuru Radio. My name is Norman Otis Richmond, a.k.a. Jalali, and we're paying tribute to... Jesse Belvin. We have on the line Jesse Belvin Jr., but Jesse Belvin had a huge impact on Jamaican music. No one will ever know what would happen had he performed on the island, and I know Jamaican record collectors in Toronto, Miami, London, and New York treasure the recorded output of Belvin, according to J. Alexander Francis, who lives here in Toronto. He says that his songs were recorded by the giants of ska and reggae. Girl of My Dreams was recorded by John Holt, which we played earlier, and Sly and Robbie, who played with Black Uhuru and Peter Tosh, they recorded covered a lot of Jesse Belvin songs with Glenn Ricketts. The Blues Brothers, a great act, and Alton Ellis and others have covered many of Jesse Belvin's songs. And we're going to play right now a cover version. This is a duet with Jesse Belvin and Jeanette Baker, and we're going to listen to that and come back and be speaking with Jesse Belvin Jr. and hopefully Jeanette Baker.
Looking for love, somebody true. I looked at you and wanted you only. Looking for love, storybook love, like I've never known.
Looking for love, wanting so much, love's tender touch, when I was so lonely. That excite, I call you my own.
Within my arms now I hold you. At last I found the one I could adore. But you're afraid, though I told you. I want you forevermore. I always knew
There would be you
So lonely too And wanting to find me I'll love you so
You'll never go
Looking for love. Looking for love. Looking for love.
And you are listening to Uhuru Radio. My name is Norman Otis Richmond, a.k.a. Jalali. This is Uhuru Radio. We're paying tribute to Jesse Belvin. We have on the line Jesse Belvin Jr. and Jeanette Baker. We just heard a duet that Ms. Baker did with Jesse Belvin. Technology is a beautiful thing. It can be used for a number of things, many of them beautiful things. And I'd like to ask, first of all, I'd like to welcome Jeanette Baker to the radio station. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. How are you? Hope everything's going good for you.
Everything is wonderful. Now, tell me something about yourself, one, and two. Why did you decide to do a duet with Jesse Belvin, and how did you, and why did you pick Looking for Love?
Well, first of all, I'm an oldie but goodie recording doo-wop singer from the 50s. Mm-hmm. And I was on a record label with Big Hug Huggy Boy, and I had a group called The Dots. And my background singers was Jesse Belvin, Alex and Gaynell Hodge, Johnny Flamingo, which was my husband.
Right.
And they backed me up on several of my tunes. And Jesse here on the West Coast was a mentor to all of the artists at that time. We really looked up to him, and we really loved him. And for a long time after he died, I could not listen to his music because I would just break down crying, because I was very close to Jesse and his family, his wife Joanne. And I remember Jesse Jr. when he was just walking around in diapers, could hardly walk. I can see him now. But anyhow, I couldn't listen to his music. Years and years and years went by. I had his album. I remember when he got that big break with Shorty Rogers, and we all knew he was going to the top, and we all knew he was going to surpass some of the biggest artists on the planet. He was going to be the biggest. He was just that talented. And so one day I got a call in 2007 from a small record company in Walla Walla, Washington, Walla Walla. And they called and asked me if I was Jeanette Baker. I said, yes. And they said, well, we own a song that Jesse Belvin wrote. Now, I could relate to that because I remember when Jesse would sit down at the piano and write songs just like that, snap of his finger, and he would go sell them. And so this guy had one of his songs, and he said, we understand you sing and play the piano. I said, yes. He said, well, I have a record by Jesse Belvin Jr., and we would like, by Jesse Belvin, and we would like for you to record it. We're going to come down and bring the equipment to your home and record it. Would that be all right? I said, oh, yes. And I got really emotional again. And so they came here, and we did that song. But before we did that song, I said a little prayer. And then after I said the prayer, I said a prayer to Joanne and Jesse. And I told them to touch me, and I wanted to do this to make them proud. And after I said that prayer, everybody that was here, the engineers and everybody, were in tears because I was so emotional about it. I get emotional about it now because we had a big loss when we lost Jesse. And so it went down. That's the way it happened. And it was a small record company, and the man that was the producer and owner of the company was wonderful, and he died. So his son took over. So he didn't do too much with the record, but, you know, that's how it went. And it was just amazing because that song was done in the late 50s, and in 2007 we did that recording. And did you,
that's a beautiful story, and I think that I want to fire that song up again. You know, while we have you on the line, I can give you a remix, a replay. But what high school did you go to?
I went right here, and in St. Louis, I went to Sumner, and then I went to Jefferson High here.
Oh, Jefferson, that's the same school that Mr. Belvin went to. Yeah.
Yeah. But he was before me, you
right.
know. He was before me. But we had a lot of talent to come out of that school. And, you know, it was a lot of entertainers in the Belvin home, you know, Jesse Belvin's grandmother's home. We were all there. Eugene Church, Buffy Day, a whole lot of us were there. And, you know, we would harmonize and sing, and Joanne would be in the kitchen preparing something for us. You know, she was wonderful and very beautiful, and beautiful inside and out. And you never saw her looking, you know, like I walk around the house looking like, who did it, why, and don't do it again. Not Joanne. You know? But
you mentioned Walla Walla. That's where Willie John passed away in Walla Walla, up there in the prison up there. But it's too much history for me today.
Yeah, I can tell you some stories about him one day. But anyhow, it's just amazing. I'm fixing to do another tune, and I'm going to have Jesse Belvin Jr. to be on that recording with me. So I want you to be looking for it. It'll be ready in a couple of months. We're probably going to get started on it the end of this month. And it's a song that I lost my son in this war. And he wrote, I was sick, and I looked in his journal, and he had a lot of lyrics. So me and Jesse Jr. is going to be doing that. So I want you to look for it.
Well, let me ask, we haven't talked to Jesse Belvin Jr. about his singing career. I know you have a lot of things on YouTube, and you know, besides your father, who influenced you? I guess I've been talking to you for a few minutes. I guess you already said you were screaming louder than the women when he was singing "Distant Lover." So who are some? How talk about your singing career?
Well, I don't know. I guess it started early on. I remember early on when all the kids would be in church on Sunday, my age, you know, 5 and 6 years old, going to sleep with their arms on the pews. I laid my ear on the pews because I was able to hear each harmony note that the choir was singing.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandmother was on that piano, and I was so used to her calling me at home that asked me as she learned songs through the week, "Come sing this for me, little Jesse." So, you know what I mean? I would not only hear the choir sing a different note, but she played so beautifully, I just used to lay and just listen to that music, and it just, I don't know, it just did something to me, and it did something for me. So I've always had just a special love for the music. And it went from there to sitting on the floor watching James Brown when he did the "Please, Please, Please," when he threw the capes off of him.
Yeah.
You understand? To the Temptations, and, I mean, Little Anthony, "Hurt So Bad." I mean, Mel Carter, "Hold Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me." I mean, all that stuff was registering to me deep when I was young. I was like, I don't know how, but some kind of way I got to do this. Because it was just that attractive to me. And then after the Temptations came the Dramatics. I used to call them the New Temptations.
Mm-hmm.
Just anybody that could really make you feel what they were singing about in that music, man. You know what I mean? If they could pick up that mic and get your undivided attention, they had my undivided attention. I don't care who it was, male, female. You know what I mean? It's like I just had that kind of love for the music, man. And before I knew it, you know, people start bothering me about, why don't you put some of your music up on YouTube or somewhere, man? Because I've been around locally playing and singing and doing my thing, and a lot of people knew that I did music, but a lot of people didn't know. But you got to know that this being Jesse Jr., everybody I met all my life asked me either one of two questions. Are you related to B, Jesse Bevan, or either, do you sing? So, you know what I mean? I had to make sure that, you know, since I knew that that was almost expected of me, I started really woodshedding, trying to do my homework, so when I opened my mouth, they knew I was a real belter.
Right.
Well, he grew up in the music. He grew up in the music world, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was like, it was all around me, man. It was all, like, people like Jeanette and, you know, Ellis Hodge, Kenel Hodge, all the people were around me all in my youth. And, you know, though my father was gone, a lot of them still came over there and banged on the piano and did what they did. I remember before "Under the Boardwalk" came out. Man, I knew that song forwards and backwards because it was played on that piano so often before it was even released.
"Under the Boardwalk" was the Drifters.
Yeah, that's right, man. So, you know, it's like all of them, man, they were all there, man. And it's amazing, man. It's amazing, you know, after I got older, I didn't realize, I'm going to be honest to tell you this, I didn't realize really how big and how influential my father was in this music business until after I got older. And people start contacting me from all over the world, man, making sure I knew how much they loved my daddy and his music, man. I was like, wow, it's bigger than I could have ever even imagined, man.
I heard you on an interview say that you used to doubt your grandmother. You say, oh, grandmama, that's the one. He wasn't that.
He ain't wrote all them songs. And then I went and did Eugene Church, who did the duets with him on when they were the Clicks. you know, Girl of My Dreams and My Desire and Once Upon a Time, those songs. You know, when Eugene got sick, you know, he and I had spent a little time together, and he and I started singing those duets, and it just blew his mind and see that I sung those songs just like my dad. So I sung my dad's part, and he sung his part, and it just, he used to cry singing with me. So when he got sick, his family contacted me and told me that the one request Eugene had was that I come sing in his tribute. So I came and sang in his tribute, of course, because he had become a dear friend, and I know he was my dad's very dear friend. And then when I came off that stage, all those people were lined up from that era, man, back then. And I thought, as usual, when I go perform somewhere, I would like, well, they just want to shake my hand because this is the closest they're going to be able to get to my dad. They just loved him like that. But no, these were people, these were artists from back then, Jewel Aiken, Don and Dewey, you know, some of the Coulters, some of the Platters, Charles Wright from the one Watts 100 Street, 3rd Street Man, Don Julian from the Lark. I mean, they were lined up, man, and each one of them, one by one, whispered in my ear, man, your daddy wrote all our songs, man. He let us say we wrote them. Your daddy gave us our first hits. He didn't want nothing. He just wanted us to be in the business. Your daddy took us to our first record company. It's like, I'll never forget. I left there walking to my car almost sobbing because I knew what she told me was true.
Mm-hmm. Well, can
and the bleachers stopped.
No, go ahead. I'll cut you off. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I just didn't believe it as a child. And then for them to, not only for it to have happened, but for them to be that honest to come and share that with me, man, it was just a special moment, man.
Well, you bringing back those names like Don and Dewey. I remember the first concert I remember going to was Don and Dewey, Bobby Bland, and Lou Junior Parker. And Don and Dewey turned it out. And Jewel Aiken's, I saw him in Canada. He used to work on the same at the same place my mother worked. So you bringing back whole bunch. Let me tell you about the birds and the bees and da da da. Yeah, that's Jewel Aiken's,
that's
right?
That's right.
Could we play? I want to do a remix and play Jeanette's song one more time and come back and.
Yeah, do that because I really want to share that with the people because that is a current release and it's available right now on iTunes or Amazon. Just search Jeanette Baker. Her CD is called Jeanette Baker and Jesse Velvet, and her CD is called Smell the Roses. And it'll bless you. The whole CD is a bunch of wonderful tracks, and Jeanette can really play and sing. For those music lovers, she'll bless you.
All right, let's listen to Looking for Love with Jesse Belvin and Jeanette Baker.
Looking for love, somebody true. I looked at you and wanted you only. Looking for love, storybook love, like I've never known.
Looking for love, wanting so much. Love's tender touch, when I was so lonely. That excite, I call you my own.
Within my arms now I hold you. At last I found the one I could adore. But you're afraid, though I told you. I want you forevermore. I always knew
there would be you.
lonely too.
So lonely too.
And wanting to find
me. Wanting to find
me. I'll love you so.
I'll love you so.
You'll never go.
You'll never go.
Looking for love.
For love.
Looking for love.
Looking for love.
Looking for love.
On Uhuru Radio. My name is Norman Richmond, speaking to you from Toronto, Canada. We have on the line from Dallas, Texas, we have Jesse Belvin Jr., and from Los Angeles, California, we have Jeanette Baker. And Binga is teching the show from St. Petersburg, Florida. Technology can be a beautiful thing. Can we talk about the doo-wop thing, you know, your father sang, Jesse Belvin sang with his group called the Turks. Who was in the Turks at that time?
That was
Alex.
My father, Gaynell Hodge, Alex Hodge, and Buster Williams.
Don't they have a picture of all those guys with like those, they're not turbans, or what is the hat? What do you like a fez?
They got them tall hats like turbans, but I don't know what you would call them.
Right. It's like the it's sort of like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad would wear that type
like,
of gear.
Like the Elks wear.
Right. Yes, right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I was so happy that because I was Jesse and Joanne's friend, you know, everybody was trying to get them to sing background on their songs, but they did it for me with no sweat. You know, we went into the studio, no rehearsal, nothing. Jesse said, "We're gonna do it like this. We're gonna do it like that." And on some of my old recordings of the Dots, you can hear him doing the falsetto. It was great, you know.
Jesse Belvin, he sang what, from baritone up to falsetto, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
His range and was, I'll cut you off, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I remember when he would play the piano and sing, and all of us would go and hear him play and sing. I can't remember this club. It was on Jefferson Boulevard, way out there towards Culver City, and he was spectacular. You know what I mean? He'd sit at that piano and entertain those people, and we'd sit there and just be mesmerized.
Well, Jesse, did Jesse was sort of like, he didn't, he basically relied on his voice. He wasn't, was he, I don't know, did he do any dancing at all? He basically relied on his vocals and his musicianship. How did he get over?
Through his voice, through his musicianship, through his, you know, he was a natural at singing.
Norm, my grandmother told me a lot of the companies that he was running sell music to in Hollywood.
Right.
Would be mad after he left because he'd sit down at their piano and play something so beautiful and sing it so beautiful and sell it to them. And when he left, nobody, it wasn't the same. They handed it to somebody else and it wasn't the same.
He was amazing. That's all I can say.
Well, can we play In the Rain by Jesse Belvin Jr. And you talked about the dramatics, and we talked about diction. You know, like I know Sam Cooke was a diction man, and Little Anthony was a diction man. Nat King Cole, and your grandmother stressed the whole question of people being able to understand what you said. I guess.
Yeah, she was big on diction and pronunciation. She told me that's what made Sammy Davis the singer he was, his pronunciation.
And Nat King Cole.
Yeah, Nat King, we mentioned that. Nat, you're right about that.
Oh, yeah, and Nat, you know. I'm a big Nat fan. You know, I just covered another one of his songs a couple of weeks ago. It's on YouTube, so.
My husband is on Nat there, fan. Too. He was a doo-wop singer, and he was on the background vocals. He was an original Dot, and that was Johnny Flamingo. That was my husband.
Right.
He passed away. Well, Jesse were very good friends.
How important as a woman? Who were some of the women that had stressed the whole pronunciation situation? I'm asking this.
Etta James.
Mm-hmm.
Etta.
Right.
You know. You know, I don't know if you've read her book. She talks about Jesse and how
he
was a mentor to.
Right.
Yeah. And if you notice when she sings her diction, you can understand every word.
Right. Well, let's listen to Jesse Belvin Jr. and come back and continue this discussion.
Okay.
Is it
rain? I think I want to go out and play in that rain. Yeah, I think I want to play in that rain. I wanna go outside in the rain. It may sound crazy, but I wanna go outside in the rain. Cause I think I'm gonna cry. And I don't want you to see me cry. I wanna go outside. It may sound crazy, but I wanna go outside in the rain.
Once the rain starts falling on the face, you won't see not even a single trace of the tears I'm crying. Because of you I'm crying. I don't want you to see me cry. Let me go, let me go, let me go. The sun comes out and the rain is gone away. I know I'm gonna see a better day. But right now I think I'm crying. Because of you I'm crying. I don't want you to see me cry. So let me go, let me go, let me go. Yeah, in the rain. It may sound crazy, but I wanna go outside in the rain. I wanna go outside. I said it may sound crazy, but I wanna go outside in the rain. It may sound crazy, it may sound crazy, but I got to walk out the door cause I can't stand it no more. I don't want you to see me cry. I said I'm walking out the door, I can't stand it no more, girl. Please.
Uhuru, you are listening to Diasporic Music on Uhuru Radio. My name is Norman Richmond. I'm on the line with Jeanette Baker and Jesse Belvin Jr. We're paying tribute to Jesse Belvin. The first show that I did on Uhuru Radio was dedicated to Jesse and Joanne Belvin. I think that was in 2010, if I'm not mistaken. And we basically talked about Jesse Belvin and we talked about Los Angeles, California. I remember we played, we kicked the first song that ever played on Uhuru Radio was Barry White singing in Spanish. And we played the Ricky Owens of the Vibrations. So we covered Brenda Holloway. Yeah, we covered the whole Los Angeles scene. And is there anything else you'd like to add, Jeanette and Jesse?
Well, we lost a great talent, and my husband, who was Johnny Flamingo, and he was a doo-wop singer too, and we used to talk about it all the time. I lost him in 2000. He passed away. And we used to talk about Jesse all the time, and he was friends with Jesse as well. And it was just a really hard time for us, and it stayed a hard time for a long time. That's what was so painful. And I just kind of went across the water to overseas to Europe. I traveled all over the world, and that kind of lifted me up, because I think if I had stayed here, I would have stayed in that depression. But I have wonderful memories of Jesse, and now I have Jesse Belvin Jr. And that's like, he's like a son to me, and I'm just so pleased that we're hooked up again, and I'm looking forward as well for him to doing great things with his music.
So your music is available through iTunes?
iTunes, Amazon, and to my go to my site, Miss M-I-S-S, Jeanette, J-E-A-N-E-T-T-E, Baker.com.
And are you traveling? Are you traveling in terms of touring at any time? Do you still tour?
I'm supposed to be going to Australia again this summer. I haven't given them my okay yet because I have to really think about that. I was there a few years ago, and I've been to Australia several times, but it was a hard trip. I mean, it's a long trip, you know what I mean? And I'm thinking about it, you know.
Australia's it's nonstop. How long is the flight?
Oh, too long. It's over 13 or 14 hours. We stopped in Brisbane the last time. I remember when we used to go straight to Sydney on Qantas, and I was on that airline again, but they stopped in Brisbane. My feet were all swollen up. It was a mess.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you have to walk the aisles when you travel that long to keep your blood pressure down. But anyhow, I'm scheduled to, I haven't given them my okay. They have made me an offer. I haven't okayed it yet, but I'll be doing things around here locally. I don't really want to do anything until this new CD is on the street. And so that's what I'm working to right now on to get that, you know.
Let me ask you one last question, or I'm looking at the time. We might have a little bit more time, so I'm trying to schedule this thing. But you said you went to Jefferson, the Vibrations and some of the people that went to Jefferson. Could you just talk about Jefferson High School for a few moments? Because a lot of people...
Well, I was just there for a short while, then I went to St. Louis.
Okay.
I knew a lot of the kids, you know, Richard Berry, and who was another close friend of me and my husband, and he was close with Jesse, too. We were all on the road together. Jesse and all of those acts, we had the Shields, Charles Wright, the Coasters, Don and Dewey, they were real good friends, the Coasters. I didn't travel, wasn't on the show with Platters, but they were very dear friends of mine. And we had a whole list of people on the West Coast that really didn't give their just dues. And Charles right now is trying to form where we can have a recording artist hall of fame somewhere in the Crenshaw area. Because the artists on the West Coast didn't really receive the honors that they should have received. Right? We had great artists like Etta James, and then later Brenda Holloway was one of my favorite singers, and I'm trying to remember all the, are so many artists, but
we
weren't recognized like the Motown artists were.
Mm-hmm. The Whispers, you know? I guess, right now, the Whispers, I guess, would be the biggest thing coming out of L.A. right now.
That's
yeah,
right.
You know, Lou Bedell recorded them and recorded me, too. That's when I first met them a few years back, the Whispers. Great group, you know. Mm-hmm. So I have a lot of memories. I can tell you a whole lot of things about a whole lot of artists because I was really here on the scene. That was before Motown, when we had nothing but fabulous artists with great talent, and everybody took advantage of us, you know.
Well, I'll tell you, I'll make a promise to you. We can bring you on again, and we can talk about your life and times exclusively. I would like to do that.
Okay, and thank you so much. And it's just a lot of history here on the West Coast that people don't even realize, and I think it's shameful, you know. And the people that are really keeping our music alive on the West Coast here, the oldies but goodies, are the Mexican people. They East LA, they constantly buy our music. That's what's keeping our music alive, believe it or not. They're very loyal to the Oldie But Goodie Stars. They can tell you more history probably than I can because they really keep up on it, you know.
The last time I was in Los Angeles, 2009, 2010 maybe, I saw the Whispers, the Stylistics, and it was about 60-40, Chicano and African-American.
That's right.
Yep, it was in the Chicanos were buying all the programs and remembering the Whispers. When I remember, I was talking to one of the guys, and he was telling me he remembered when Scotty and Walter were running track at East LA. I remember that they used to be track stars out of Jordan, and these guys knew all. I mean, they knew they could tell you what the Whispers ate for breakfast before they cut. I only meant to wet my feet, you know.
Mm-hmm. And see, I remember back in the day when we just go to malt shops and stuff and start singing in front of the malt shops and, you know, harmonizing and people. It was a fun time then. It's not like it is like it was then. It was fun and wonderful, and all the artists respected and loved each other. You know, it was just a wonderful time.
All right, Mr. Belvin, what do you want to leave the audience with today?
Well, I just want to thank them for the love they've shown over the years for my father and my parents and their music and their contribution to the music industry. I want to thank them for the support that they've given me. And the things that I'm doing and trying to make sure that my father's legacy lives on. You know, he's not really spoke of a lot in the media like some of the great artists that were around right when he was around, like Sam Cooke and Nat King Cole. And, you know, but I understand, because to talk about the Jesse Belvin story or he and his wife, you also have to talk about a dark side of another people's history. So I understand, you know, the powers that be. And I guess that's why I stay so busy trying to make sure that his legacy and his music lives on. And the more I do it, it's like, you know, from the responses I get from the people that love him all over the world, it's just like a something that taps me on the shoulder that makes me know it's what I'm supposed to be doing. And I sometimes ask myself, if not me, then who? You know what I mean? Who else can I count on to make sure that legacy lives on? You understand? I don't know. I just feel like it's almost an obligation. And it's not, you know, I'm not complaining. I'm explaining. I don't have a problem with it. But I just want to say thank you for all those that have been so supportive, and even for the haters, thank you. I needed you guys too. You know, you know, we all need our Judas.
They know who they are.
Yeah, and they know who they are, and I embrace them too. You know what I mean? I needed them because that's what keep me focused and keep me on target with what I'm supposed to do. So you know, I appreciate, you know, both sides of it, you know, but for the most part, I just want to thank those that continuously show love for his music and appreciate his contribution and try their best, you know, in every way they can to let me know that they love him and they support his music. And, you know, I just, those little things mean so much to the family. And the Belvin family, just want to say thank you to all of his fans, you know, far and near. Because we appreciate you.
Well, this is definitely the last question. Jesse Belvin, a bio on Jesse Belvin, a film on Jesse Belvin, and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. What a how three, little Willie John, his sons are doing a lot of work around, you know, around him. Is there anything in terms of any lobbying for him to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Because Etta James, you know, basically gave him the biggest endorsement.
Well,
he should have been in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame years ago. I've been an activist for the artists, and we've just been looked over, and it really kills me that he's not in there. He should have been the first one.
Just like Ned said, that a lot of these artists that are from the West Coast, you know, for whatever reasons, they don't seem to want to recognize them as some of the pioneers with this music, like this R&B scene and what have you. Even the Rhythm and Blues Foundation, I've contacted them. You know, I know that Guess Who, my father was nominated. You realize that Guess Who was nominated for a Grammy in 1960, and that was the first Grammy ever? He was up against Elvis Presley and Frank Sinatra. He didn't win, but he was nominated in the first Grammys ever.
That's right, and he should have been in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And it just kills me to see.
And for him,
long time ago.
Shortly after that, just that feat alone should have made him qualify to be in one of these Hall of Fames, or one, you know. But it's like, I don't go back and forth with these people, man. You know, it's like they do what they do for whatever reasons, you know.
Politics.
But it reminds me, I went to, you know, we played ball all my growing up, and we could really play, my cousin and I. And, you know, I went out for a team, and I wanted to play third base because I played the hot corner. And I told the coach, I said, I want to play third base. He said, well, I got somebody on third base. Why don't you try the outfield? And I asked him, are you playing friendship or are you playing the best players? I said, well, why don't you look at me at third base, and then if the guy you got on third base is better than me, then I'll go try the outfield. So I kind of like called him out in front of the team. So he told me, come here, let me see you on third base. Shortly thereafter, he was telling that guy, he wanted to go, you telling that guy, go try the outfield. So you understand, it's like, I believe the same thing in those industries, in those foundations, R&B, and, you know, it's friendship, and it's people that's connected one way or another. It's like, so I don't go back and forth with them, because I don't want to waste my time with that. Because I have a ear, and I hear who my dad was. You understand? I mean, he's been in my Hall of Fame.
Well, he's been in all of our all the artists here.
Hall of Fame will forever be not only a member, but the Hall of Fame president. So, you know what I mean? I'm all right with that. If they don't recognize me, as far as, you know, him being on the silver screen and what have you. Yeah, we behind the scenes trying to do a few things, you know, because I believe the whole world needs to know about Earth Angel and that story.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, well, story is quite a story, and the scriptures being written. And if I have my way, the world is going to be introduced to that story. So just stay tuned.
Well, stay tuned, and we're going to have to sign off for right now. We're going to call. We'll be calling you back, both of you, and we'll definitely stay in touch. And I would like to thank Nyabinga Zimbabwe for technical teching the show today. I would like to thank Jeanette Baker for her contribution, and I really thank Jesse Belvin Jr. for making all of this possible. And we will continue to do our part to make Jesse Belvin, to reintroduce Jesse Belvin to the current generation, the hip-hop generation, and the coming generations, to keep his music and his memory alive. And thank you very much.
I appreciate that, Norman. Thank you for having us, man.
All right, we're going to end this show with Good Night, My Love. This is a song that Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes used to always end their show with. And I think Alan Freed used to sing, this was his theme song, I believe, too.
And all the radio stations and all the record hops.
That's right.
All right. So take care of everybody, and we will see you in the whirlwind, and take care. And this is Jesse Belvin with Good night, my love, and take care. Everybody, take good care of yourself.
You too, Norman. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right.
So much.